Hi everyone, and welcome back to the 25th video for the Old Testament Survey course. Now we're almost to the end of the historical books, and in this section, we're going to look at the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And as usual, we'll start with some background information. First, just like Samuel, Kings, and Chronicles, Ezra and Nehemiah were originally one book, and they were later split into two. Now, there's a natural division between the two, so they make complete sense as separate books, but they're also part of the same overall story, so they fit very closely together as well. And we understand them more accurately and profoundly when we study them together, so we're going to in this course. Now, the author of these two books, again, is technically anonymous. Possibly Ezra or Nehemiah is the author. It's clear that portions of Nehemiah are written in the first person by Nehemiah himself, but what's not certain is that if he wrote the final version or if someone else used his writing as part of their finished product. Now, most likely, almost certainly, the same person is the author of both of these books. Now, these two books, they tell the story of God's people returning to the promised land from the Babylonian captivity. Remember, the epic is exile and return. God, in his grace, he brings them back because he's not done with them. He has promises that are not yet completely fulfilled, and so he's going to make a way, and he did. So the people, they go back to the land. But in these books, it's not yet what they expected or hoped for. Now, the dates and the timeline of the events in these books, they hold, a very important point for understanding them. But we're going to hold off on talking about the date until a later section when we have enough information to understand what's going on. So now we're going to talk about the organization of these two books. The outline of these books is based around three waves of return from Babylon. They did not all return at once, but in three separate caravans back to the land under three different leaders with years in between them. The first return happened under the leadership of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, who was a descendant of David. And when they returned, the main thing they accomplished was the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem. Then a second return happened under the leadership of Ezra, a priest, who was a descendant of Aaron. And when they returned, the main thing they addressed was the restatement of separation from surrounding pagan cultures. They guarded the purity of the community by upholding God's laws against idolatry and intermixing with pagan cultures. And then the third return happened under the leadership of Nehemiah, who was a favorite official in the Persian government. And when they returned, they accomplished two main things. First, they rebuilt the wall around Jerusalem. And second, they instituted religious reforms. They focused on returning to faithfulness to the law. And that included separation from all that is unclean and idolatrous, as prescribed in the law of Moses. Now we'll look at more detail at each of these sections in a bit. But we're going to look at the content first with some key verses. First key verse is Ezra chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Then Jeshua, son of Jozadak, and his fellow priests, and Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and his associates, began to build the altar of the God of Israel, to sacrifice burnt offerings on it, in accordance with what is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. Despite their fear of the peoples around them, they built the altar on its foundation and sacrificed burnt offerings on it to Yahweh, both the morning and evening sacrifices. Now this passage describes the rebuilding of the sacrificial altar after the first group had returned to Jerusalem. One of the first things they did is to offer sacrifices to God at the place where the temple had been. And this is the first move towards rebuilding the temple and reestablishing all the worship ritual given by Moses and David that had been destroyed in the Babylonian captivity. Next key verse is Ezra chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. When the builders laid the foundations of the temple of the Lord, the priests in their vestments and with trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals, took their places to praise the Lord as prescribed by David, king of Israel. With praise and thanksgiving, they sang to the Lord, "He is good. His mercy to Israel endures forever." And all the people gave a great shout of praise to the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the older priests and Levites and family heads who had seen the former temple, they wept aloud when they saw the foundation of this temple being laid, while many others shouted for joy. No one could distinguish the sound of the shouts of joy from the sound of weeping, because the people made so much noise, and the sound was heard far away. So this passage narrates the start of the rebuilding of the actual temple. And the author relates how this was a bittersweet moment. It was a time of joy that the temple was being rebuilt, but it was also a time of weeping for those who were old enough to have seen the first temple. Now, there's two possible explanations for this. One is that they were sad because this brought up the memory of the destruction of the first temple. But the other possibility is the realization that the second temple would not be as magnificent as the first. And then Ezra chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. It says, "So the elders of the Jews continued to build and prosper under the preaching of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah, a descendant of Iddo. They finished building the temple according to the command of the God of Israel and the decrees of Cyrus, Darius, and Artaxerxes, kings of Persia. The temple was completed on the third day of the month Adar, in the sixth year of the reign of King Darius." Now, obviously, this passage narrates that the temple was completed. It was rebuilt. And it was completed in the wider story against much opposition and trouble. The completion halted for a while, but eventually it was completed because God was working in the returned community. Next is Ezra chapter 7. Verses 6 and 9 through 10. It says, "This Ezra came up from Babylon. He was a teacher, well-versed in the law of Moses, which the Lord, the God of Israel, had given. The king had granted him everything he asked, for the hand of the Lord his God was on him. He had begun his journey from Babylon on the first day of the first month, and he arrived in Jerusalem on the first day of the fifth month, for the gracious hand of his God was on him. For Ezra had devoted himself to the study and observance of the law of the Lord and to teaching its decrees and laws in Israel." So this passage introduces Ezra the priest. It describes his character and his qualifications, that he studied God's Torah, that he taught God's Torah, and he obeyed God's Torah. And this is a great summary of the preparation for God's type of leadership. And it repeats for emphasis that the gracious hand of his God was on him. That's the underlying reason for all of this return, all that these leaders do, is because God was doing it through them. And so Ezra traveled from Babylon to Jerusalem. And then Ezra chapter 9, verses 7 through 9. "From the days of our forefathers until now, our guilt has been great because of our sins. We and our kings and our priests have been subjected to the sword and captivity, to pillage and humiliation at the hand of foreign kings, as it is today. But now, for a brief moment, Yahweh our God has been gracious in leaving us a remnant and giving us a firm place in his sanctuary. And so our God gives light to our eyes and a little relief in our bondage. Though we are slaves, our God has not deserted us in our bondage. He has shown us kindness in the sight of the kings of Persia. He has granted us new life to rebuild the house of our God and repair its ruins. And he has given us a wall of protection in Judah and Jerusalem. See, in this passage, Ezra is talking to the people, and he highlights God's grace and kindness in bringing them back to the land. And he acknowledges that they're not yet experiencing all that they had desired, but God has been